We'll reconvene and we will take up item 7D, County Administration.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Before you today is an item that we in my office has researched specifically Stephanie Black in order to seek out business opportunities, cost efficiencies in transitioning our county fleet to leased vehicles. So the beginning footwork and fact-finding has been completed, and now it gets pretty much the meat and potatoes of this project, which would include an expending of staff time. So prior to doing that, going full force in, I would like to seek the pleasure of the board, if you're supportive of this transitioning of county vehicles to the fleet, which would be leased vehicles. And this includes the department vehicles, public works vehicles, as well as safety vehicles. We're looking at the single axle vehicles, and Enterprise Rental is a very familiar company who does this throughout the state. With various counties and cities. They're also a Sourcewell member, which means that we do not have to do an RFP. We can actually directly contract with them. So in order to continue the fact-finding, if we are deemed that there's cost efficiencies, I don't believe that there will be any upfront cost savings immediately, but over some time, I do perceive that we will definitely have a nice savings that we can move forward with this project. But again, it does expend quite a bit of staff time in order to prepare and move forward, and I would just like to seek the board's approval of moving forward with this project. With that, any questions?
So this, when you say efficiencies or savings long term, is this a maintenance issue as well?
Correct.
To me, it sounds like it's streamlining, and I know at some of the county conferences that I've been at over the years, Enterprise is always there pushing this, saying, you know, this is really good for the counties to begin to consider. So I just want you to elaborate a little more on, I mean, I like the concept. I think there's a lot of benefit here, but I mean.
Correct. So not only are the vehicles leased, but they're also maintained. So meaning that we would be able to use a local dealership for all servicing of the vehicles. They're leased vehicles. And so we also have the opportunity to purchase and refurbish. They have timelines and a transition plan, and again, that gets more into the in-depth research and analysis of how that applies to Siskiyou County. But just the overview of what was presented by Enterprise, it is not only a cost efficiency, but also maintenance as well as staff time, and again, a nice savings in the future. And in my mind, employees are number one priority for me, and so the safety and well-being of our employees and placing them in vehicles that are literally brand new vehicles on a rotational basis is of the utmost importance to me. So that was my draw to this whole project.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris.
Well,
I think you had your hand up.
I did.
Press star 9.
I kept doing it. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't want to dominate the meeting. This, I wanted to wait. But
we won't let you.
Supervisor Copps, I've asked my two main questions was maintenance in regards to that. This also, is this the same for, when you say safety on the worksheet, public safety, like sheriff's office vehicles as well?
That is correct.
All right. And then do we have an estimate of what this... Do we have any general ballpark estimate of what the savings would be?
I do not at this time. And so that would be the next step, again, of expending quite a bit of staff time to move down that road, which I'm willing to do.
Right.
And that would be able to have that result as to the amount of cost savings that the county would experience. And so I know that there will be. I just cannot put my finger on that right now. I don't have a definitive amount, and I choose not to guess. I think it is definitely in the interest. And then if we do, or we are able to demonstrate a cost savings, then I would like to move forward with this project.
I know you're very conscious of staff time.
Yes.
And all those things. So if you're comfortable and you feel there's a cost benefit gained from dedicating that staff time, my job is to support you. So.
Okay. Thank you.
So I recall in the very beginning, and I'm going to use public safety as the example, where the vehicles were high mileage and the, you know, it was deferred maintenance and all those kind of things. I think this is just a prudent, wise step moving forward. It streamlines the process. You know, basically we're getting newer vehicles maintained. You know, we struggle to find mechanics. I mean, the whole litany of things. I'm willing to move down the path and pursue this. Thank you.
Thank you.
I absolutely support this process. We've had discussions about this over and over again, and I know the benefits of a lease program and how quickly you can upgrade your fleet and how best to maintain that and move forward over a period of time that you can recover a good fleet, and I know it's a prudent decision.
Thank you.
Oh, here's wisdom again. In a previous life, 20 years ago, I faced the same decision, and lessons learned, I guess. While the upfront lease cost was a little high, the maintenance cost plummeted over time, and the rattle traps that my agency was driving before that were pretty dangerous, we have affectionately called one of our vehicles the Exploder. It ends that, and you know, there's a great deal of comfort knowing that employees are in safe vehicles and ones that actually handle on modern highways, rather than hanging on to them forever. Lessons learned was that didn't work out real well for specialized equipment, particularly heavy equipment and those
Correct.
Kinds of things that you know, it's difficult to call to the dealership for maintenance, and there's it has a much longer lifespan, if you will. So that was probably a mistake when we went that direction.
And I wouldn't anticipate like our heavy snow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about your basic fleet vehicle.
But they're single axle.
Yeah.
Is what we would be
replacing. But I would cautiously look at sheriff's vehicles, those that are specially equipped.
And they do offer fully equipped vehicles, and they do have other cities that have their entire safety fleet that are being utilized.
And what I found in regard to that was that there was some specialized equipment locally that wasn't offered by vendors, and there was pretty exorbitant costs associated with drilling new holes in one of their leased vehicles that was equipped. So just approach it with caution, but other than that, I'm not fully supportive.
Will do. Thank you.
You need a motion to just
No, but we do have a public comment hand raised.
Public comment. Raise your hand. Yeah, I guess you already raised your hand. We're going to recognize you.
Go ahead and press star 6 to unmute.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm actually waiting for the next one, Natural Resources E. I've been trying to get in this whole time and couldn't get in, so.
All right, we'll come back to you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. We're going to move on to E, and
not to steal anybody's thunder, but we've had our first fire of the season already.
Yes.
Elk fire outside of Happy Camp in the Elk Creek Drainage. Last I heard, 50 acres. I don't know.
That's what it's holding us up.
Much growth today or not. But pretty early for that, and we're facing some pretty extreme fuels conditions already this year. So,
Correct.
Okay,
Take her away, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Elizabeth Nielsen, County Administration. In front of the board today is a resolution to proclaim the existence of a local emergency related to drought. Unfortunately, this has become a far too often item to bring in front of the board. And as Chair Haupt already alluded to, entering into another drought year, it presents its risks to catastrophic wildfire. I just wanted to give a quick update to the board regarding some of the drought conditions we are facing. One of those is in the proclamation, which the United States Drought Monitor has designated a significant portion of Siskiyou County in D3, which is extreme drought, and the western portions of the county in D2, which is severe drought. I don't expect those designations to improve for this water year. And just a couple of specific areas, the county was contacted by Montague Water Conservation District back in mid-March, and they are again filing a change petition to the State Water Resources Control Board to be able to provide water via the Shasta River to the city of Montague, because the city of Montague anticipates that the drought will have an impact on water supplies that they provide for their residents. And in addition, Montague Water Conservation District, it's a great source of their irrigation supply from Dwinell Reservoir. And as of mid-March, Dwinell Reservoir was at 16% capacity. So Montague is facing some real impacts related to this drought, in addition to the impacts that will be witnessed in the Shasta and Scott Valleys. Then for our folks to the north on the Klamath Project, I took this short quote from a letter that the Klamath Water Users Association submitted to the Bureau of Reclamation on March 26 of this year. The Klamath Project is facing a disastrous year for farm and ranch families in the project, as well as the wildlife and migratory birds that depend on farm and ranch land and two of the most important wildlife refuges in the nation. The agricultural community is already comparing this year to 2001, the year when, in April, Reclamation announced zero deliveries to the project due to ESA conditions. March projections for 2021 estimate a supply of 119,000 acre-feet for the Klamath Project. Full deliveries for an average year are approximately 350,000 to 400,000 acre-feet. It is anticipated that the April projections for irrigation supplies to the Klamath Project will be approximately 25% of full supply, which quite possibly could mean less than 119,000 acre-feet. Therefore, this drought declaration would likely provide financial assistance to many of our irrigators and hopefully municipalities during this critical water year. I will leave it at that, and I'm open to any questions from the board.
You don't have to, Elizabeth. That's
good. Happy. I'm not happy, but I'm happy with the staff bringing this for us, if you can address it.
Motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Discussion? Before we vote, I want to go back to the caller. I'd just like to remind everybody that there's been significant fire activity already in the county, especially in East County, actually. This one on the west side was the first one on the west side of any significance. But I used to pay closer attention to this, but yesterday I looked at our fuels indices, if you will, 100,000 hour fuels, which should be fairly hydrated this time of the year, but they're not. And that's usually a pretty good indicator of upcoming fire severity season. They're actually at recorded low levels of moisture for this time of the year. The bright note here is the April 1st snowpack was released yesterday or the day before. Took a look at that, and we're above where we were in 2015. Not by a whole lot, but I expected much less than we currently have in the snowpack. It doesn't help you in East County at all, but the western part of the county seems to we're at like 70% or 65% or more. That's it. I really support it too. Let's go to the caller at this time. Press star 6. We'll recognize you.
Number 0599. There you go.
Hey, good morning. Could you state your name, please?
My name is Charlene Watkins. I am grateful that you're passing this natural resources, the emergency with the drought. My remarks are kind of on a personal basis because this water extraction is right in my face off of A-12. It's continuous very early in the morning until late at night. It's being moved to an area that is only advantageous for certain people. This crop is considered non-agricultural. I couldn't find anything for non-beneficial, but it is a non-agricultural purpose that the water is being removed out of our groundwater sources. It's extremely disheartening to watch this happen, watch it spill all over the road, and watch them go east of where people live in Big Springs. So I just am grateful for this. I hope people start joining in on this and get this stopped because it's awful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Roll call.
Session.
Go ahead.
You know, with this whole drought, we've been in for years, you know, quite honestly. I've just seen since I've moved to the county, just seeing the snowpack where it used to be above my knees regularly for weeks on end does not get that way. So there's always going to be pressures on water. But having said that, you know, South County, my district, as you know, there's a project going on North Shore, whatever. I am definitely afraid of wildfire at this point because of what's exacerbated by lack of water. And I have long said that my worst fear is that we get a fire down the canyon at the wrong time of year with the heat and the wind. It's going to take out the number one community in the state fire danger hit list. And so when I think about projects that we're doing, and so think about the next coming shortly, two-week Greenways program, those kind of things. I hope we, besides calling a drought and saying, we declare a drought, that we think about those projects that we can do, Michael, skin in the game, as I say, to do the things that we need to do to try to help the cause, if you will. Can't ask God for more rain, but unless it comes, you know, we're going to be dealing with drought, water deficiency, and the things that, in my worldly view, the effects of a drought in the South County. So. I support this.
I appreciate those comments, and I'm a key off that to talk to the public a little bit about the fire season. There's a myth or a perception that firefighting forces can save your home and can save you, and that is the case in a lot of cases because we have a lot of heroes working out there doing that work. However, I just want to remind people, especially in my district, who tend to think they know better, after decades of fire experience, I can tell you that in extreme fire behavior conditions, there is no firefighting force that will protect your home or your life. The only way to protect yourself is to evacuate. Please pay attention to the authorities should you get into that situation. And if you live in a hazardous zone like I do, like most of
us all
do,
yep.
Have your ready bag packed.
Thank you.
You know, it should be ready right now because you're headed in to another fire season, and even if it is an extreme in your area, there is the possibility that some atmospheric anomaly can come together and take out your property, and you should be prepared to move when you have to. And I get off my high horse, but I get so irritated at people not paying attention to that message.
Supervisor Hupp, we had a fire, if you recall, a few years back down in the canyon, and we had the emergency meetings down in Dunsbury. And I will tell you, one of the positive outcomes is I think a lot of people got on board. But it's a consistent, we need to keep getting that message out. So there are people that do have their go-backs, me included. You know, I have the pertinent papers, have your, all those factors that you got to do. And I would say, as you well know, you can't just do a little clean around your house it's ongoing. You got to do it every year.
Yeah.
And so I will tell you that, and I've seen it in McLeod. I went to a church last Saturday. All the thinning, all the projects that are being done. So I think we're doing what we can, but we just got to keep up the good works that we are doing.
Thank you. I think we're roll call.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Absolutely.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. NMF, Ms. Nielsen, you're up again.
Me again. So we tried, county staff tries to bring an update to the board and to the public when needed regarding the Klamath Dams and efforts by Klamath River Renewal Corporation to remove the four lower Klamath River dams. And first of all, I would like to thank Assistant County Counsel Natalie Reed and then our consultants, SWCA Environmental Consultants, and our outside counsel, Nossaman LLP, for all of their hard work on this effort and ensuring that the county stays engaged with this project. And just as a reminder that this effort is really involved, and even I sometimes have to go back and look at what the different processes have been to get it straight in my head, and it's something that I work on a weekly basis. And so I've just pointed some of the highlights of this effort just to remind the board of everything that's gone on, and then also so that the public can easily follow where things have been and where we are at now. So Siskiyou County is home to three of the four Klamath River dams, or lower Klamath River dams, that regional power provider PacifiCorp and the Klamath River Renewal Corporation, KRRC as we refer to them, are requesting FERC to transfer to KRRC for decommissioning and removal. In September of 2016, KRRC filed two applications to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC. One application was filed jointly with PacifiCorp to transfer ownership of the dams to KRRC, and the second was to decommission and remove the dams. June of 2018, KRRC submitted its definite plan for dam removal to FERC. Siskiyou County and its consultants and outside counsel submitted detailed comments on the definite plan. December of 2018, the State Water Resources Control Board issued a draft environmental impact report for the removal of the dams in California. And again, Siskiyou County and its consultants and outside counsel submitted significant comments. July of 2020, FERC issued a ruling on the project approving transfer of the four lower Klamath River dams to KRRC, provided that PacifiCorp remain as a co-licensee. November of 2020, Governor Newsom and Oregon Governor Kate Brown announced an agreement to provide additional resources and support to advance dam removal and entered a memorandum of agreement to sign on as co-licensees with KRRC for transfer of the dams. This MOU has been submitted to FERC, and it asks that PacifiCorp be removed as a required co-licensee and that the states be added. February of 2021, and again, these are just very major highlights or else I'd be up here for 3 hours. February of 2021, KRRC submitted a supplemental amended license surrender application to FERC detailing KRRC's plans for removal of the dams. This document totals over 9,000 pages. Siskiyou County, its consultants, and outside counsel are currently reviewing these documents and will be submitting comments to FERC. We will hopefully be seeing some drafts in the next several weeks from our consultants, but again, it's a 9,000 page document. For Siskiyou County's end, we believe that the draft environmental impact report released by the State Water Resources Control Board fails to provide the public with an adequate assessment of the significant environmental effects associated with removal of the dams and fails to follow proper processes outlined by the California Environmental Quality Act. Just some specifics. The project will release in excess of 13.1 million cubic yards of washed out sediment with multiple contaminants, which will have a negative effect on fish and will cover some spawning areas up to 2 feet for a period of time. The principal justification for dam removal, improvement of salmon production, rests on a shaky conceptual foundation, has no basis in relevant empirical research, and ignores the increase in risk of extinction that stems from the real potential to wipe out an entire cohort of endangered salmon, both coho and chinook. The county continues to be extremely concerned with the apparent greater interest in dam removal than survival of endangered sucker species, as the state of California has authorized take associated with dam removal. Concern for the survival of this same species threatened to completely shut down agriculture in the Klamath Project during 2018, and this threat continues in 2019, 2020, and 2021. KRRC proposes to translocate some imperiled Lost River and short-nosed suckers, but any sucker populations within the reservoirs exceeding those translocated would be entirely lost due to dam removal. The project would eliminate access to reservoirs, Kopko Lake and Iron Gate, which provide water storage, drought mitigation, and critical protection from wildfires. And lastly, real estate values and property tax revenue will be directly impacted by dam removal, reducing their valuation by millions of dollars. And like I said, we are reviewing the most recent submittals by KRRC to FERC, but in our last comments, we significantly provided details on the inadequacies of the first draft of the definite plan. I'm open to any discussion and questions.
So that was an excellent before and where we are succinct snapshot of this situation. I was just wondering, do you have that in a written form that you could share that with us?
I will clean this one up and share it with you.
Okay,
yes.
Because it lays it out more coherently than me trying to do it actually every time I speak. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for the information.
And when you send it to them, if you copy me, that'd be great. Thanks.
Members of the board?
No, I agree with what was said. How many definite plans have we had to review so far? Sarcasm intended.
Yeah, so there was the detailed plan, and then there was the definite plan, then there was a supplement to that definite plan after FERC's independent board of consultants addressed where they saw inadequacies. And then there was kind of a shift when FERC issued that ruling where Pacific Corps had to stay on as a co-licensee, and of course the states have now offered to take on that role. And so now there's another supplemental submittal to FERC. We have submitted comments along the way in every step of the process, but our most involved comments to date would be our comments on the definite plan, the first definite plan, comments on the draft environmental impact report, and then will be these comments on the supplemental submittal by KRRC.
And as you laid out, we have to be committed to this project because if the fish get impacted by this, it'll be hitting the agricultural community from Tula Lake to Shasta to Scott. So we have to stay engaged.
With the state of California and the state of Oregon, and as you said, their roles now with the KRRC, are those two states in name only, or are they do they have skin in the game with that co-licensee title?
I'm more familiar with obviously the California end of things, and the Siskiyou County, meaning California, is that home to three of the dams. That is part of this agreement, it also provides for any financial backing that is needed above and beyond KRC's current financial capabilities, which is already provided for by taxpayer dollars.
Thank you.
The other question I would have is, do we have an update at all on the indemnification process?
No.
I know it was kind of deemed to be inadequate the way it was first presented in the definite plan, but I don't, I kind of lost track of where we are.
I could bring something back. I don't have it. Okay. Unless you wanted to provide anything, Natalie. I wanted to bring that back.
Okay, thank you. Anybody over here?
Did I hear you say that that was a draft EIR? Is there a real EIR?
A final EIR? There has there's not been a final EIR as of yet. I would assume some of the new changes in the supplemental submittal, likely.
I think there was a final EIR through the water board, but then the NEPA process still has to go on.
Yes, thank you. You're correct. So there was a final EIR. It's the NEPA process that is still laying out there.
And they never laid out a record of decision for the 2012 EIS. That was done.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. There was no decision. I know I'm correct. Thank you. I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Moving right along. Recess is the assistant.
Oh, just real quick, with
not
the minutes.
Right.
No, with the minutes, got a couple of options. I did send them out yesterday. I didn't get my proofs back till late. If we'd like, I could certainly continue them to the next meeting. And I know for flood and county service area 4, that's all we have on there is minutes. I mean, we'd still need to go into that entity, but.
Okay.
But I do have them on a thumb drive if we want to public to be able to see them and
so approve. So are you talking about specifically item 11A or 8B and 9B?
All three.
All three?
Yes.
Okay. We'll deal with that when we get them.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to recess the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is time for public comment. You have public comment on the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Please press star 9 on your cell phone to be recognized.
Seeing none.
Seeing none, and it looks like item B, you need a motion to...
Just if you want to comment to continue them to the next meeting.
Continue that to the next supervisor meeting.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene as the County Service Area 4. Public comment on Service Area 4. Press star 9.
Seeing none.
Minute approval. We will also continue that to the next board meeting.
Thank you.
We'll adjourn as County Service Area 4. Reconvene as Siskiyou County Supervisors. Appointments. County Clerk.
Okay, yes, this is an appointment that I've actually been working with County Council's office on for an alternate position for Fish and Game Commission. We did come up with posted an availability of a vacancy for an alternate member, and this one right now is just for Supervisorial District 3. This would have a term ending January 2nd of 2023. I am working, just so everybody knows, I'm working on the remaining three districts to get those posted. So if you have anybody interested, please pass that information along to me. Let's see, at the time the agenda worksheet was created, the clerk's office had received a letter of interest in serving as alternate member from former member Howard Dukey for, and
Harold.
He was Harold. Is it Harold? I put Howard.
It's okay.
Harold Dukey. I did work, like I said, with County Council on this. We didn't really find a process, you know, set in stone for appointing, but I believe since other counties have done that, just appointed to alternates, that that was the recommendation for Siskiyou. So at this point, that's the only person I've heard from for that position, and it would be for an alternate supervisorial District 3.
And when would this take effect if the board approves it today?
Today. His term wouldn't end until 2023, but officially he'd start today. So I would, if he's appointed, I go back, create his oath, get that ready to go, and give him all the information.
So once he takes the oath in that, then he's, is that official?
I'm
headed with this is because we have two new board members on there, or commission members, sorry. he's Juki's trying to inform, but yet doesn't want to do anything to violate the Brown Act. As an alternate, there would be three if he met with two board members. So what I'm trying to find out here is there a little lead time before he does that, before that would come into play?
If the appointment is due today, no, he'd be subject to it.
Okay, all right. So, well, I would make, I would move to appoint Harold Dugie as alternate for District 3.
I would second that with discussion. Mm-hmm. I got a call from Mr. Mike Ford about the duties of the commission.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they're trying to work through, and Mr. Dugie has that base, because Mr. Kluge has stepped off as well, so they're trying to make the transition in a way that works.
Well, my question was, I never laid eyes on it, but is there somewhere that defines the duties of the commission?
Yes, there's bylaws, and they did have a meeting last week, and that's one of the things that they're going to pull up and have the whole commission go through so that they know how they should be operating and what their duties are, because it's outlined in the bylaws.
Okay.
And George Parker has that, and that's going out to them.
Okay. Good.
As well as the 700, Form 700 info
right.
that the clerk will be sending out.
Yes, and I do need to follow up on my end, these being alternate positions, if that's technically a different category. I'm not sure the alternates are actually on the Form 700 conflict of interest form, so I will follow up with my office to make sure where we're at with that. I know biannually, every 2 years, I know it comes to the board for who sits on that and who is actually on the conflict of interest form. I just need to verify that alternates are on that. I imagine they are, but I just don't have it in front of me, so I can't say definitely.
They should be if they're not.
If not, they should be. Yes, no, I understand that. So, but I will double check that.
Okay. And the commission hasn't met in over a year, so that's been problematic as well. So that history coming forward has been a little difficult. So.
I have a motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. And item 11A, we will continue the next board meeting as well.
Thank you.
So we're going to go to a public hearing. Am I opening the hearing, please?
Yes.
Opening a public hearing on item 12A and B. And we'll take 12A first. Public hearing for the second reading of the ordinance regarding abatement by owner or occupant for illegal cannabis cultivation. Mr. Dean. And Mr. Farrell.
In the batter's box.
Yes.
This is the second reading of our ordinance to assist code enforcement officers in verifying abatement of cannabis. The purpose would be to authorize the code enforcement officer to detail how abatement is to occur, and if the property owner does not abate in the process described by the code enforcement officer, the cannabis is considered unabated and subject to being fined even if it's off the property. This is to help get around the fact that otherwise, you may direct cannabis to be abated and it disappears off the property and they say it's abated, but we don't know if it was actually sold or just simply moved to another property. This way, the code enforcement officer can say, cut the plants, leave them on the ground, and when I come back, I will see they're on the ground and we will consider them abated. So. This is ordinance used by Tehama for their code enforcement officers. They do it exactly the same way. They used it for several years. So trying to make our cannabis enforcement program more meaningful with this ordinance.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Dean, nothing? Do we have any correspondence to be presented?
Not at the clerk's level.
Reports or arguments or evidence by staff or other public agencies? Seeing none. Proponents' arguments. I don't. If you have an argument as a proponent online, press star 9.
Seeing none.
Opponents' arguments. Same goes there. Press star 9.
None.
Public comment. Any public comment on this item? Please press star 9, or if you're in the audience, you may speak.
None online.
All right. No rebuttals. I'm not closing the hearing.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
On this one, yes.
Okay. I'm going to close this hearing, and discussion comes back to the board. Okay. Discussion by the board. No. Entertain the motion.
So moved.
And that's the recommended motion?
The recommended motion.
Thank you.
I'll second that, and when can we bring that back?
This would actually adopt the ordinance. Yeah,
this does. Okay.
Yep.
This is the second.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Whoa. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, the next one, the public hearing for the second reading of uncodified ordinance establishing a fee waiver for owner-built dwellings in Siskiyou County with a Slater fire. Mr. Dean.
Mr. Chair and Board of Supervisors, as you mentioned, this is the second reading to adopt Chapter 4, Title 9, associated with the Slater fire. This is a portion specifically to the fee schedule, waiving the fees for qualified property owners of the Slater fire for building inspections and also building permits. This is intended to, was described to end on February 16th of 2024, a period of 3 years.
Thank you. Any correspondence on this item?
Not at the clerk's level.
No further reports or arguments or evidence by staff?
No.
Proponents' arguments. Raise your hand by pressing star 9.
None.
Opponents' arguments. Raise your hand by pressing star 9.
Seeing none.
Public comment. This is time for general public comment. Please press star 9, or if you're in the audience, raise your hand.
Seeing none online.
No rebuttals. I'm going to close this hearing then.
Okay.
Any discussion of the board? Not, I'll entertain a motion. I will make the motion, the recommended motion.
Second.
Roll call, Wendy.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to move to board and staff reports, if anyone has any.
I attended the Siskiyou County Fish and Game Commission meeting last Thursday evening, where the full commission was there. One of the things, they had a presentation on the wolf activity from Kent Loudon from County Fish and Wildlife, a good presentation. As well as a presentation from Carolyn Knapper on the Shasta T and the East Side Project work that's in play now so far has not been litigated. It's being implemented much to the success of Ms. Knapper's reaching out to all parties that could be concerned. She did a great collaborative effort there. They're getting ready to start the same type of process on the, I guess it's the South Fork, Sacramento, on the west side of Lake Siskiyou, up in there, and trying to bring that same effort that the successful there over to that side. So one of the things that we did learn that night from the Goose Nest, I can't think of his last name, but his first name was Drew. There's a need for grazing expertise on the grasslands. The Forest Service evidently does not have that expertise, and so they're reaching out for an entity of the county or anybody that knew. I've suggested that the grazing committee might have a contact there. I'm not sure, but they seem to be willing to improve whatever it is that they have there. It seems like they have some issues, and they want to get it on track. So with that, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, the regarding that, the expert I know on bitterbrush locally was John Menke, but he passed because he did the EIS on the East Side step. But Fritz Mollenberger, who actually was the biologist on the Goose Nest for a while, who lives in Etna, did quite a bit of work over there on bitterbrush and grazing.
Okay. Can you send me his contact? If you have it.
If I have it, I'll have to look. Probably in the book. In that
okay.
Any more?
No, nope, that's it.
Yeah, just to follow up on the Goose Nest, yeah, Orcal's been active with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help out with that aspect.
Randy was there too.
He was? Oh, good, good. We've been trying to help. Yeah, and they also have the Goose Nest, they also on the grasslands have a Grasslands Grazers Association, which is what the ranchers combined together. Because they all turn out to have
does
the same goals.
Does the Goose Nest know that?
That they should, yeah. That's who they
sound like.
They
should. That's who they do the agreement with and everything for the grazing. Yeah. It's just the local ranchers. They all share the same bulls and they all same graze in the same area. So for McLeod, zone of increased benefit down there in McLeod, they're working on a contract. Their what they call their Measure G, which was to raise the taxes. To pay for Cal Fire during the Amador season, didn't pass. So as Plan B, they're going to try to contract with McLeod Community Service District Fire Department, which has to cover the area anyways as mutual aid, and compensate them for coverage of the area during the Amador season. So it's just trying to make, since they won't have Cal Fire by contract there, they'll have McLeod Fire as backup for medical calls and house fires and those things during the Amador time. So they're working on the contract for that. It's proceeding along fine. It's negotiations between the ZIB board and the Community Service District. It's working along that path.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
So the Amador plan that pays something over that, is that just for the Cal Fire station that doesn't cover this part as well?
This
there's
part.
Like 26,000 that goes over there?
Yeah,
the Amador plant, or that, is that what, yeah, the county
plan.
Yeah.
The Amador plant. The county did contribute in the past to fill that gap, but this is off the Amador plan. We can follow up with Ms. Davis, too, but the county used to fill the gap, but with the failure of Measure G, there's the gap's getting wider and wider.
So is that money, though, is there that portion that what that's coming off of the Amador plan, is it still reaching McLeod, is I guess what I'm trying to figure out?
Oh, because the tax for the Amador, yeah, not to get into details, you know, the Amador plan was also Hornbrook and then
McLeod.
McLeod.
Right.
For the area, for the tax revenue that's coming from McLeod would stay in McLeod. So the revenue that's coming off that, because they assess themselves a
no, tax. I get that, but there is some amount of money that's coming off that plan that's going over there.
There is, and it would still stay there.
It would still stay, okay.
Still stay
yeah, and that would be given to, in a contract with the Community Service District of McLeod, in a contract with them for to compensate them for coverage of the area. Mm-hmm. That's the backup plan since Cal Fire's rates have increased over the years.
Yeah, I know. I just thought it offset Cal Fire's costs, because that's what Hornbrook's does, it, doesn't it? It just offsets the cost during.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that probably warrants an agenda item for discussion to give the whole.
Yeah.
Because we spend a lot of money on CAL FIRE.
Yeah.
And so, but I think it.
Before budget.
Yeah. I just think like you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Valid. I think it would be good.
Hello.
We have a new supervisor on board. That way, you'll be up and running.
Did they sync my son? The supervisor Valenzuela and cops F1 was at the blue shirts coming in from Hornbrook. I heard this from the prior CEO that during Hornbrook, when they were trying to get CAL FIRE station, it would be funded. But most people came to the community always asking for funding for it.
Well,
that was under a previous board.
That's before me.
It was before me too. Yeah. Yeah.
Backfill that through the end of our plan.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, it's to the tune of several $100,000. Yeah.
But that's just to let you know, they're contracted with CAL FIRE. Like anything, there's pluses and minuses. It's not a cure-all. I mean, you're relying on the volunteer fire department to provide that service. Like anything, so it's something that'll work now. And then we finally notes. The other one was CCP. We had the CCP meeting. Something really good happened there, but I can't remember what it was. And I feel embarrassed to the CCP board because they're a wonderful group. But they did something with budgeting or something. Maybe if Coley wants to send something out. But I just want to let you know this is proceeding along well. Something happened. I should have taken notes and brought it up here with me. There's something with the budgeting. Something's proceeding along that they're functioning well, though. CCP board, which is vital because the CCP board deals with the central core issues of government, which is public safety and taking care of people with. You know, whether it be mental health or whether it be incarceration or rehabilitation. But things are proceeding along well there, and that organization's working very professionally. I think that was, and then Montague Resiliency is still working on their plan for copying what they did in LEED, the LEED Resiliency, and that'll be coming forward fairly soon. We did want to give a presentation to the board. Maybe in the future, just to see if other communities would be interested. And it sounds like a lot of communities are interested in the resiliency plan for their own individual communities. And then just to let the board know, on the 8th, Two Lake Irrigation District is going to have a special meeting on their water year. So we'll be getting a different picture. It probably won't be a complete picture because of everything that's going on, but they're going to give an update. What's happening, so I plan to attend that meeting. So I'll be missing Montague Resiliency on Thursday to take that meeting. It's just a KID board.
Anybody else?
Sure. Back in March 25th, I took a CSAP online class in an effort to catch up to Supervisor Chris, who has received his certificate, I believe. He did that. And so I just want to also mention that our behavior health director, Ms. Gillard, was on the same class I was on, Realignment 101, basics. It's a complicated subject, so I would encourage any of our staff, the county family, to look into classes. They're worthwhile. Thank you.
You liked it, didn't you?
No, I didn't like taking the class, Brenda. I didn't like taking the class. I'm grateful there wasn't a test. I was doing it for the goodwill and the look of the organization.
You did a good job.
Is there anything?
Oh.
Scrolling.
Look at that. No, I'm good. I've had a lot of meetings, and I didn't take notes, so I would just say I had a lot of meetings, and I can't remember them all. So I'll say I'm good. Things are good.
Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit about the grazing meeting that Elizabeth and I attended. We were invited by Gary Rainey of our grazing panel to meet with the ranger in Happy Camp last week. And I think it was last week. We went down on a Friday, spent about 3 hours in discussion with, I didn't jot down notes, but I think there were about 12 grazers there. Well represented by the permittees on the west side of the forest, including one grazer from Scott Valley, who grazes in the Marbles and in the Trinity Alps. A couple of resounding messages. It appears that the range program on the forest is in a free fall.
You know, there's not a lot of leadership that came through loud and clear from the permittees. I think we were able to reach the new ranger in a way that he hadn't been spoken with before. The standpoint of his contractual obligations to the permittees and some of his regulatory obligations to coordinate with the county on, particularly on grazing permit environmental assessments. In general, I was actually encouraged by the conversation. Roberto, the ranger, was there with his deputy and listened intently. Has a timber background. I can't ascertain whether he has any background in grazing at all. But we were able to talk to him about a long, long history, 20 years of history from my perspective, another several generations of history of the grazers that have been on that land on the west side of the forest, and the things that they struggled with, and the incongruencies in the administration of the permits that are people's opinions rather than reverting to the standards that are actually in the contract. So in all, I think it was very productive. One thing that I noticed already, Roberto made a commitment to us that he did have a draft EA out for a grazing permit on the west side of the forest, which I don't recall seeing before, and he offered that he would pull that back and share it with us and allow us to make comment, and he's done that, so good faith effort on his part. On another note, I got a reach out from the governor's office to do a what I believe will be a Zoom meeting on issues that are before the county, and not quite sure who all is going to participate, but the staff reached out to me, and that will occur on the 23rd of this month at 10:30 in the morning. I've already talked to the sheriff about the issue with the cannabis and getting me some detail on that that I can impress the state with there. And then other major issues confronting the county and all supervisors have something, you know, they want me to particularly highlight, let me know.
Who's this with again?
The governor's staff.
Okay.
Yeah. And they reached out to make them the board chair.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So with that, one other thing I was I couldn't believe it. Last week I saw an ad for Cal Fire championing and encouraging grazing, of all things. I thought, wow, there's a turn. But hey, we'll take it. And they're particularly focused on fuels and what grazing can do to help them with fire control. So, good stroke, Cal Fire. With that, no further comment from this board, we're going to go into closed session.